Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are in 2 Samuel chapter 4. We're going to read the entire chapter today. It's 12 verses, and it tells a story about something, and it gives continual insight into David. We've seen him do something like this already, and it has to do with touching the Lord's anointed, though that's not exactly what this is. It does have to do with touching somebody who is righteous, how we treat one another, what we think we are saying and doing. It's just so much here. In the midst of it, there's a little parenthetical thought. And so let's look at it and we'll see. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1 says this. When Ishbosheth, Saul's son, heard that Abner had died at Hebron, his courage fell and all Israel was dismayed. Now remember, Ishbosheth was Saul's son that was the king of all Israel. Okay? David had Judah and Benjamin, but the rest of it, Ishbosheth had. He finds out that Abner's dead and his courage fails. He's scared. Verse 2. Now Saul's son had two men who were captains of raiding bands. The name of one was Benah, and the name of the other was Rechab, sons of Rimmon, a man of Benjamin from Betereth. And then you have this little parenthetical statement kind of thing. For Bereth also is counted part of Benjamin. The Berethites fled to Ketim and had been sojourners there to this day. So he's given a little insight in just a parenthetical type of thing. This is the English Standard Version. So the King James, New American Standard, English Standard all say that. The Lexham doesn't do a parenthetical thing right there. But the next verse, the Lexham picks up a parenthetical statement, and the other three don't. Okay? And so I'm thinking that you can handle both these as parenthetical statements. So you got, though I don't understand really why they're talking about Saul's son, which is Ishbosheth. He had two guys. These two captains were raiders, okay? And you think, well, why is that important? Well, we're about to find out with the balance of it. Now, though, verse 4 talks about Jonathan. Again, the Lexham does this as a parenthesis, a little parenthetical thing. Jonathan, the son of Saul, had a son who was crippled in his feet. So this is Saul's grandson. Saul's grandson was crippled in his feet. And it explains why. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And as she fled in her haste, he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. You've likely heard that name, and we'll see more about him later. But it explains what happened. When Saul and Jonathan were killed, word came back. And so his nursemaid grabs him, and they're fleeing very quickly. Somehow he fell. Okay? It simply says he fell and became lame. So he was lame. Now, the story of Rimmon and Rechab is picked up here again in verse 5. Now the sons of Rimmon, the Berethite, and Rechab and Benah set out, and about the, well, let me see the other, read that again. Now the sons of Rimmon, the Berethite, Rechab and Benah, those are the two sons, they set out. And about the heat of the day, they came to the house of Ishbosheth as he was taking his noon rest. So it's hot weather. It's the heat of the day. What do? You take a noon rest. Take a little siesta. They came into the midst of the house as if to get wheat, and they stabbed him in the stomach. Then Rechab and Benah, his brother, escaped. So they sneak in, or they come in under false pretenses to get wheat, into the house of the king. Okay? So that tells you that, you know, they were known, they had access to this, they could do this kind of thing. They come in and they stab him in the stomach, which is my understanding. That's like the worst type of death ever, to be stabbed or shot in the stomach. Most painful type of thing. And then it says they escape. But the next verse, verse 7, gives us more insight into what happened. Verse 7, when they came into the house, as he lay on his bed in his bedroom, they struck him and put him to death and beheaded him. They took his head and went by the way of the Arabah. And we've seen this a couple times, you know, through the desert area, all night. and brought the head of Ishbosheth to David at Hebron. Now, in light of everything that we've seen in the life of David so far, most of us are probably going, uh-oh, that was likely a mistake right there. Well, you're absolutely correct. So they walk in there with this head, and they say this to the king. Here is the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life. The Lord has avenged my lord, the king, this day on Saul and on his offspring. So they come in. They thought they were doing a good deed. They thought they were delivering the kingdom over to David. They said, hey, here's the one whose dad was your enemy. And so we've taken care of him. And the Lord has now delivered the kingdom to our Lord. Well, there's probably some suspicion as to their motivation. Well, there's no doubt to it because of what happens next. Listen to this, verse 9. But David answered Rechab and Benaiah, his brother, the sons of Ramon the Berethite. Here's what David said. As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life out of every adversary, when one told me, behold, Saul is dead, and thought he was bringing me good news, I seized him and killed him at Ziklag, which was the reward I gave him for his news. How much more when wicked men have killed a righteous man in his own bed, shall I not now require his blood at your hand and destroy you from the earth? And David commanded his young men, and they killed them and cut off their hands and feet and hanged them outside the pool at Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the tomb of Abner at Hebron. David was not going to play along with all these political shenanigans. I mean, this had already been proved over and over, and these guys found that again. He says, how much more so when somebody brought news to me that Saul is dead and thought he was bringing good news? That actually gives us insight into that incident, does it not? Remember the guy, he was a foreigner. I can't remember where he was from, but he had been with Saul's army and he had an opportunity. So he comes to David and is trying to ingratiate himself to David. He thought he was bringing good news and he acted like that he was the one that took Saul's life because Saul wanted him to. That's not what occurred. He lied about what occurred. David killed him nonetheless because he thought he was bringing good news. And David is saying to these two guys, oh, you think you're bringing me good news? You are even worse. Because you are wicked men. You have killed a man in his own house, on his bed. So they must have gone into the details of how they did this. And he says, you know what? This action is going to require your blood. And I'm going to destroy you from the face of the earth. And David does. Folks, we don't put up with evil. We don't play around with evil. There's much, much evil that needs to be destroyed from the face of the earth. As a matter of fact, there are evil people among us, and I mean within our culture, within our society, within our country, that need exactly that. They need to be destroyed from the face of the earth. They need to be given an opportunity, yes, repent, confess, call upon the name of the Lord for salvation, but even then, they will bear the fruit. We are in days when this is about to happen, even more so. Personally, I think it's happening, but we just don't know about it yet. We're going to know about it soon and find out that nothing has truly changed. So anyway, I'll chase that rabbit some other time. Thank you. I'm Dale, and I'll see y'all in the next episode. Goodbye.